Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian has been going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18, with a message entitled Preparing for the Battle. And today, Pastor Brian concludes this message, and now we go to Pastor Brian from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now go back to Joshua chapter 1, and I want to close with a warning in relationship to the unity of the body of Christ. Verse 16. It says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. So they say, hey, our hearts are united in this. We're with you, Joshua. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we'll heed you. Only the Lord God be with you, just as he was with Moses. So that's our desire. As God blessed Moses and had a powerful ministry through him, we pray for the same thing. Now look at this. This is how loyal these guys are. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. And that's loyalty. Now, we're not looking for that type of loyalty to that degree, but see what they're saying. If anyone wants to detract from it, hey, their life is in their own hands. It says, only be strong and of good courage. This last part that I want to end with in looking at the unity of the body of Christ is looking at these 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. They settle on the other side of the Jordan. And it says they looked at the land and said, hey, this land is good for us. Although God's original purpose was for all of them to go on the other side of the Jordan and possess the lands. And although Moses did agree with this and permitted it to happen, in the long term there were some disastrous results that affected these 2.5 tribes that were on the other side of the Jordan. They were the first ones to be exposed to the enemy. They were the ones on the outskirts of the land, and the world and its effects affected them the quickest. And these were the tribes that rotted spiritually the quickest that God had to bring his judgments. He said that he used another nation, the Assyrians, to come in and to judge them and to wipe them out. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, where it's described. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Chronicles 5:23 says, so the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. Their numbers increased from Bashan to Baal-Hermon. And then it lists the different fathers' houses. But look at verse 25. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. Isn't that interesting? The very tribes that we're looking at that didn't go in on the other side of the Jordan, these are the first ones carried away into captivity. These are the first ones corrupted. This story reminds me somewhat of Lot and Abraham. Remember what it says, their herdsmen were having a dispute, and Abraham, the man of God, who God gave the land to, said to Lot, hey, let's not have a quarrel. You pick a direction, you go, and I'll go in the other direction. It says, and Lot looked, and he says, oh, this land looks nice and fertile. It says he made his way into this land, and that led towards Sodom and Gomorrah. God's judgment ultimately came upon that place. Abraham had to come in and help rescue him from that battle. The kings fought, and Lot's life was messed up. Abraham was one that was walking by faith and saying, Lord, whatever land is left, that's the one you've given to me, and so I'll trust you. I don't want to settle on this side of the Jordan. I don't want to settle for second best. I don't want to be on the outskirts of what's acceptable or permissible by God, but which may also have dangers involved. I'm not looking to live my life half-hearted. I'm looking to live my life fully dedicated to the things of Jesus Christ. And I've noticed in the body of Christ that there are these people that hang on the outskirts of the church, outskirts of the body. And those are the first ones to be distracted. Those are the first ones to be picked off. Those are the first ones to fall into sin. Because their heart's not completely loyal to what God's wanting to accomplish through a group of people. One man said that God permits each person to determine the level in which they will walk spiritually. So part of your level, of your commitment and desire to walk with Jesus Christ, you determine. God works it in you and you either respond or you don't. And there are people that choose not to be fully part of a body, not to be fully part of a work that God is going to do. Now let me give you a warning. I see it as a spiritual lesson in the Bible as well as just watching the life of a church. That before God's going to bring a blessing, there's going to be a sifting of that group of people. There's going to be a trial. It's going to test their loyalty. For Joshua, he had to come and test these guys' loyalty. Are you with us? And their loyalty, hey, if someone's not with us, we're going to kill them. That's pretty loyal. No doubt about it. Before God does the work, he starts shaking the tree. All the nuts fall out, and the real fruit remains. That's why you better sanctify yourself now. You better get ready for what God's about to do. Because there is going to be some sort of testing, whether us as a congregation or you as an individual, as to your loyalty to this ministry, to this church, to this fellowship, because Satan wants to hinder you from being a part of what God's about to do. Remember what I said earlier? We are where we are in the Bible. I'm greatly encouraged by Joshua chapter 1 Sunday mornings, but I'm a little concerned about 1 Corinthians chapter 3 Wednesday nights. Why are we in 1 Corinthians? I think there's warning that needs to be given. Because I know the enemy wants to come to the outskirts and pick people off so that they don't move with us in the fullness of what God has for us. And he wants to do it so subtly. I don't sense in my heart there's going to be some major attack against our church. I think it's against individuals. In a perfect garden, Adam and Eve, Satan slithered in through that cunning animal. More cunning than any other beast of the field. That's exactly what he wants to do against this body here. He wants little issues to become major issues in your life. Some little thing that doesn't go right here at the church, and you're affected by it, or someone said something or didn't treat you nicely, all of a sudden that's a big, major issue, and you've blown it out of proportion. And now you're standoffish. And it may have been something someone did unintentionally, and that's what happens when people get together. People hurt one another, consciously, unconsciously. And they would love to come in and stir that agitation up in your heart. I'm going to find another church, and these people don't love me. So unloving there and unkind. And it's all perception. Or he wants to sneak in and have someone whisper junk in your ears. If you believe it, you know what? That's not an indictment against his church. It's an indictment against your own heart. Because he's moving us forward. I believe he has tremendous things. Are you going to participate in that? That's what's at stake. The work of God isn't at stake. Are you going to participate in this blessing that God has? That's what's at stake for your life. So you need to have the full armor of God on. You need to walk in unity and loyalty. We need to bind together and say we have a common enemy, and it's out there, not inside the church. I've been told my staff this last week, be careful. Told them about some situations. Be on the alert. Be on guard. If anyone wants to poke his head up and bring distractions, it's like a little fly that's buzzing around. Can't do much harm, but it's a distraction. But just looking for that heart that's not quite loyal, that's not quite with us. Stir that up. That's how division starts. That's why I want to teach on 1 Corinthians 3, 16. If you destroy the work of God, God will destroy you. You're not going to benefit from resisting the work of God. You'll be crushed. I've never seen anyone cause division and come out of it spiritually healthy. You do not want to be a part of that. You need to sanctify your heart and say, we're moving forward. We're going to fight the enemy. We're going to possess that which God has given to us, and we're going to labor together as a congregation. I pray you have ears to hear what I believe the Spirit of God is wanting to sow.